Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 8, 2018. Okay, folks, I'm sorry. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you hear the sound of the shofar, get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight if you have not already. If you need help after this program, if you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Make sure you leave your phone number. You know, a lot of people, they call me and I get the message, but there is no message. It's just blank air. So, folks, you have to leave me a phone number or something. So, please. Anyway, and the phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And on another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Stockholm, Sweden, Benin, Malaya, Morocco, we'll just say Morocco, Munich, Germany, Moscow, Russia, Winnipeg, Canada, and of course cities in the good old United States such as Washington, D.C., Henderson, Nevada, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Plano, Texas, Greensboro, North Carolina, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. And now, folks, please follow and share us on Twitter, and that's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I just pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we have back on with us author, bloggist, talk program host Michael Snyder to come on with us and try and shed some light on some various things that are going on. You know, he's been on with us before many different times, including talking about his book, The Rapture Verdict. Yeah, I'm talking about Michael T. Snyder, who does happen to be running for Congress. So this is going to be a really interesting program. He has several blogs. Two of them are the Economic Collapse blog, which is, I think, by far the most popular, we'll ask him, and the most important thing. So let's just get right to it and welcome Michael. Welcome, Mike. I haven't seen you in a while.
Pastor Dan, it's great to be back on with you. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, we're doing great. Yeah, I was asked for a sound check by my producer, and Frank, I know you're listening to us. The sound sounds great. We can hear each other, and so we're going to proceed on. Anyway, yeah, we sound real good today. Well, Michael, there's so much I want to ask you about. It's been a few months since you've been on with us, but it's glad to have you back.
Oh, it's so good to be back with you, Pastor Dan. And, you know, since the last time I've talked with you, we've seen so many things, including that horrible tragedy down in Florida. You know, Pastor Dan, and people are asking, why would something like this happen? And, of course, the left is trying to use it as an excuse to grab our guns. But, You know, there have always been lots of guns in America, but when I was growing up, when I was going to school, I never even imagined, it never entered my mind one time that someone might come into my school and start shooting. It never was a consideration, but what we've done as a society, we've pushed God out of everything, out of government, out of public life, out of our schools, and now as a result, look at what's happening. And so, you know, what happened down in Florida, what's happening so many other places in our society, it is not because of the Second Amendment, it's not because of guns, but it's because we pushed God out of everything, and we've got evil on the loose, and evil is running rampant, and that's what we saw down in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I totally agree with you about, you know, America got politically correct, so to speak, and the church, you know, for the most part, and I really think it's the 501(c)(3) connection, but I don't want to get deep into that today, but the church got quiet, and so then prayer was taken out of our school and so on and so forth. We've ended up, by being politically correct, we have churches accepting gay marriage and so on and so forth. And now most we have extremists from the most extreme colleges have now changed even medical books to reflect that, oh, transgender's okay, it's normal. And I don't see how any of that, when you talk about transgender, you talk about gay, all that falls into one big long group of letters, LGB something or other. But if you Google that, you find out that in the last survey they took in 2016, 7% of the population only identified as that. Now, that means we're being hoodwinked by somebody else other than those people, and I believe it's the media. Back to you.
Oh, I totally agree, Pastor Dan. And really, you know, the leadership of a nation sets the tone for the entire country. You know, I was looking into the scriptures recently, and of course, if you look back through the history of ancient Israel and ancient Judah, you know, when they had a good king, usually the nation moved toward God, but when there were bad kings, the nation moved away from God. And so here in the United States, we've had a series of bad leaders, in particular Barack Obama, who, you know, Barack Obama, under 8 years of Barack Obama, we saw gay marriage legalized. We saw the transgender agenda move forward greatly. We saw so many things that were anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian during those 8 years. And as I've been traveling around Idaho's 1st Congressional District, I've been talking to people and talking about the 2016 presidential election, and I'll ask people, I'll say, what do you think would have happened to this country if Hillary Clinton had won the presidential election? And almost every single time I get the same answer. People say things like, Michael, it would have been over. Or they say, Michael, we would have been totally finished as a nation. And I agree, we were that close to losing everything if Hillary Clinton would have won. But instead we got probably the greatest political miracle in modern American history with Donald Trump getting into the White House. And so I've been reflecting on that and reflecting on the possibilities. And so today I was reading the story of Josiah, and many of your listeners already are very familiar with it. But Josiah became king after a series of bad kings had been in, and it had introduced idol worship and sacrificing children like we've got abortion today and so many bad things. But then Josiah becomes king at an early age, and so he starts to mature, and one day someone brings him the law of the Lord, and it had been lost. It had been hidden in the temple, and, you know, it's kind of forgotten about. So they bring him the Torah, and they start reading him the Torah, and Josiah is grieved because he realizes that his nation that he's now leading has totally gotten away from the Torah, totally gotten away from God's commandments, and has totally fallen into sin. And so then Josiah, as the leader of the nation, gathers all the elders and the leaders, the other leaders of the nation, and he, brings about one of the greatest revivals that Israel ever saw in their entire history. He cleanses the land, tears down the idols, gets people back to God, back to the Torah. And so that really hits home with me, because a lot of times, Pastor Dan, And I've gotten this ever since when I started running for Congress. I actually got some criticism because people would say to me, a few people said to me, Michael, you should be focusing on ministry and not politics. Well, what we see in the Word of God is that politics can be a ministry where often God will use the leader of a nation to literally bring about revival or to help turn a nation back to God or set the tone for the country. And so that's what Josiah did. That's what other leaders throughout the history of Israel did. And even here in the United States, when we've had godly leaders, you know, it's set a different tone for our nation. And so me running for Congress, that's at the foundation of what I hope to do. I hope to go to Washington and point this nation back to God, saying, hey, we've gotten away from the commandments of God. We've gotten away from the things that God wants us to do. We need to repent and return to God if we want to have any sort of a positive future for this country.
You hit the nail on the head in this sense. Folks, and I want you to listen closely. The reason that Christianity is under persecution in the United States and other places around the world is because the largest and the most productive church in the world, part of the body of Messiah, the mainstream Christianity church, got out of politics. Prior to that, they were being biblical because it's highly biblical to be in politics because you're not supposed to allow wicked leaders. After all, you do have the vote. Who votes it? The citizens. So if you just exempt yourself from voting and don't get into the fray, you allow the ungodly to come in. Having said that, so that's what's happened to us, Michael. You're supposed to be in politics. Paul Revere was a preacher. Come on. When the country was first made, they first built the Capitol. Guess where they held Sunday services at? It was in the Capitol building. This whole conception of the body of Messiah, or the church rather, however you want to call it, staying out of politics is something put forward by the ungodly. In fact, we won't talk about it in detail, but the Johnson Amendment, he was a senator, Lyndon Johnson, and the church in Texas was basically after him. Well, he came up with this Johnson Amendment thing to shut the church up and giving them a 501(c)(3), and it has by far probably exceeded his expectations. Back to you.
Yeah, I very much agree with you, Pastor Dan. Unfortunately, you know, today liberals and conservative Christians look at things very differently. For liberals, you know, they're raised with a mindset that they're supposed to be engaged in politics, that they're supposed to be engaged in the legal world, in the mainstream media, in different things. While conservative Christians, oftentimes, they huddle in their churches, but, you know, we hear so much about the big lie, the separation of church and state, where, of course, we're not supposed to have a state church, but, you know, today people think, oh, Christians aren't supposed to be involved in politics. God's not supposed to have anything to do with politics. But our nation was birthed out of a culture of Bible-believing Christians. Our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights came out of a culture where people loved God, people read the Word of God, and that was the origin of this nation. And today, you know, Christians need to realize the reason why we have abortion, 60 million children dead since 1973 when Roe versus Wade was decided, is because Christians haven't been engaged. The reason why we have gay marriage is because Christians haven't been engaged like they need to be. The reason why we have transgenders in the military and transgender agenda advancing all over the country is because Christians are not standing up. You know, if we want this to be a righteous nation, we've got to stand up, because if we stay on the path we're currently on as a nation, it's just going to lead, it's a path to national suicide. And so we've got to turn this nation back to righteousness, and how we collectively make decisions as a nation is at the voting booth. So we need people to stand up, to stand on Christian values and say, we want to turn back to God, we're going to vote for godly leaders, we're going to vote for godly things at the ballot box. Because right now we're in a war for the soul of this nation, Pastor Dan. Right now, over the past few weeks, we've seen the largest purge of conservative voices on the Internet we've ever seen, where we're seeing hundreds of YouTube accounts wiped out, including Natural News, Mike Adams, the health ranger. He had 1,700 videos on YouTube on his account, totally wiped out on YouTube. We're seeing the censorship on Facebook, some of the biggest conservative names on Facebook being censored. We're seeing it on Twitter, where I just wrote an article. I included a whole bunch of examples of pro-life groups being censored on Twitter. They don't want to show the pictures. They don't want to show the pro-life messages. They won't take pro-life advertisements. So the social media giants, the internet giants, are cracking down on conservative and Christian voices because they know the power of standing up, of making your voice heard, and they want to make sure the left wins. They want to make sure the forces of the ungodly and the antichrist voices in this nation win. But we're not going to let that happen. The people of God are rising up, and we're saying we've got to return to righteousness, or this nation has no future. We've got to point this nation back to Jesus Christ. We want to see the greatest move of God America has ever seen. We want to be a light to the world again. We want to see the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever seen, all the way back to the book of Acts. We want to bring in a great harvest of souls before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the body of Christ is rising up, and we're saying we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to do something.
Amen. First, folks, let me tell you this. You know, the clause, or whatever you want to call it, the separation of church and state is, as Michael pointed to, the reason that was put in was so not to stop Christianity and not to stop religion, but it was to make sure that the church, there wasn't a church state like there was in England. You know, the head of, the King of England would be the head of the church in England, and so on and so forth. So they did not want another church state. They didn't want the church controlled by the state. Second on what Michael said, we see, when we saw President Trump elected, I called this a year of revealing, because it rolled back what I believe is a spiritual battle, but it brought it to light. You can see all these ungodly things popping up out of nowhere, no longer trying to hide who they are. I mean, talking in all kinds of vulgarities and just complete craziness. Women protesting with no clothes on and wearing, those obscene pink hats, and men wearing their, representations of their private parts stuck all over them in protest, and trying to say, and then try to preach to us about morality. But that is the battle between the godly and the ungodly. And so we need to join that battle. And in order to do that, we need people. And folks, listen to me. Aren't you sick of these people that go to Washington, D.C., and they lie what they lie to you? They tell you, oh, we're going to do this and that for you, but they go through there knowing fully well that they're not going to do it in the first place, or the second, or third, or the 100th place, until maybe the next election they might do something just to make it look good. But we want people, we need people in order to succeed. If we don't win the 2018 election, and Democrats, or Demorats, as my wife calls them, take back the House, they will try to impeach Trump. Back to you, Michael.
Oh, it's very true. I've called this the most important midterm election in modern American history. And we got to focus on these primaries, which has started to happen. Texas just held theirs. They were the first. And they're going to be happening now over the coming months. We need to get good, strong, conservative Christians winning these primaries. Otherwise, we get to November and we have a choice between an establishment Democrat and an establishment Republican, and we don't have anyone even good to vote for. But this is such an important time. 2018 is going to really determine the direction that things are going to go in, and you need to be careful, because for decades, I mean, we've had these people coming out during election season, and they'll say, oh, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-gun, I'm a good Christian, I'm conservative. And then they go to Washington and they betray us over and over again. So, for example, in my race, everyone says, oh, I'm pro-life, including then one of my opponents named Christy Perry. She says she's pro-life, and yet just this week in the Idaho State Legislature, she voted for a bill that would give $29 million more to Planned Parenthood of Idaho. You know, you can't vote for money for Planned Parenthood and be pro-life. It just doesn't work that way. And so that, this is something that's frustrated me for so long, being betrayed by these rhinos, Republicans in name only, who betray conservative values over and over again, who court the votes of Christians while they're running, but then turn their backs on Christians when they're in office. And so, you know, that's why, you know, we need people like me to run, where I'm running here in Idaho, and you know, encourage people to get on board and help me, because we need people who are going to go to Washington and stand up for godly values. And so, you know, if you're not familiar with what we're trying to do, go to michaelsnyderforcongress.com, or we just set up a new website called swampbomb.com. And after we can get back from the break, we can talk about how we're going to drain the swamp and the corruption in Congress. I've got some amazing things to share with your audience, Pastor Dan. But we want to go to Washington and not just be try to work within the corrupt system to try to make things a little bit better, but I want to go to Washington to literally turn the system upside down and take our government back for we the people, because there's a reason why Congress has an approval rating of just 15% among all Americans. In fact, wherever I go on the campaign trail, I'll ask people, and I'll lift up my hand, I'll say, does anyone out there approve of the way Congress is doing their job? And you know what? No one ever raises their hand, because they know Congress is corrupt. They know it's all about the money. They know it's completely Congress is completely ungodly. And but if we ever want to turn our government around, we've got to take Congress back. We need godly men and women to run for offices in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. And so this is what I'm trying to do. And right now, Pastor Dan, you know, when I first started running, the experts in here in Idaho didn't think I would win. I wasn't supposed to win. But through incredibly hard work, we've clawed our way to the top of this race, where now we're running neck and neck with two other candidates. So between the three of us, one of us is going to win. It's super, super close right now between the three of us. And it's literally, the race is going to be decided between right now and May 15th, voting day. And so right. We put ourselves in a position to win this thing. But, man, we need help, because it's a okay. super, super close race.
All right, let me break in real quick. Okay, I'm going to want you to tell them about, like, I guess the economic clock, Brog. I mean, you know, give them a link to contact you, but send me those links that you were talking about so I can use them to advertise over the weekend and ongoing. So send me those links, Michael, to my regular website. Okay, give them a website, and then we'll go to break and come back.
Yeah, the website I'm most known for is TheEconomicCollapseBlog.com, or if you go to Google and type in The Economic Collapse, the first result that comes up, that's where you can find all my articles. My official campaign website is MichaelSnyderForCongress.com, and then we just launched a money bomb for our campaign for those that want to contribute and get involved, help us save this country. It's SwampBomb.com. That's SwampBomb.com. You can go, you can donate, you can get involved, push us over the top in this very close race for Congress. Help us get to Washington, D.C.
We got to get out right now for a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We are back with you, and we'll get right back to our guests. And folks, you need to hang on, because this is one of the most important programs we've did in a while, and it really gives solutions for this country. But in the meantime, first, let me give you a quick about the Mission Church. Right now, you know, of course we need everything. You know, it is really hard to get for this ministry, because, you know, we're not mainstream Christianity, and they listen to our programs and hear us talk about the 501c3 and them being complicit. We don't get any help from them. So we don't get any help from those people. And then also exiles us from a lot of mainstream Christians that just say, oh, well, you're talking about my church. So they do not want to support the work that we do. But we are doing very important work. And so we really do need yourself. When you're listening to these radio programs, we need your support for radio because we don't sell anything. But the biggest need right now, and I'm sure even you folks in mainstream Christianity can get along with this, we need Bibles. We're, believe it or not, we're a church that's without Bibles. Yes, we have our personal Bibles, but we gave away every extra Bible that we could possibly give, and we have more people coming. We have a lot going on with the homeless and poor, and we need preferably King James Version large print Bibles. We try to get all the same Bible, because that way when we have a Bible study, everybody's on the same page. King James Bibles are cheap, and they're also very, I'm not going to talk about the different versions, but the point is, I will send a link over to the pastor's page today that you find by going to prophecyhour.com and go to the pastor's page. You can find it on the right if you can't. I know you can. Anyway, I'll put a link over there and show you just one of the places where you can buy cases of Bibles fairly cheap, or even individual Bibles. You know, the better Bible that you give away, the more likely they are to keep it and read it. I like to give these ones away that cost about $15. You can find them a little cheaper online. They're King James large print Bibles. They're not study Bibles. They have a few little things in it, a small concordance. But they're great because I'm not one on study Bibles, because with study Bibles, you're at the mercy of whoever made the study. So if you are pre-trib, most Bibles, study Bibles are pre-trib Bibles. Well, there's some that aren't, but they get more expensive. So you see my point. But with a King James Version Bible, like what I'm going to send a link over there to you, gives it away for the person to allow the Holy Spirit to teach them for themselves. Anyway, going on from that. So support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People from all walks of life come into the Mission Church. People who have had a bad break. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us now that we're coming up on our 19th year, to start our 19th year. Yes, we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even want to walk through, whether it's dark or daylight, and people don't even like to drive through it. But isn't that where the body of Messiah is supposed to be, among the sinners, as Yeshua was? Well, we do need your help now, so pray about it. And the Bible, please. So people come to us for help because why? Because we give out love and we're not in condemnation. Anyway, folks, we are responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And that means even a $5 bill can help. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, please consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and I don't sell anything. The church doesn't sell anything. Donations keep us on the air. You can donate online by mailing a check and money order, or you can call me and ask me. I can even take a donation over the phone. Anyway, pray about it. Anyway, call me if you need to. And now we're back with I'm telling you, this is a really important program with Michael Snyder, who has the Economic Clax Blog and a lot of other ones and has wrote some great books, but he is now putting his life, and that's a real sacrifice, to run for Congress. Welcome, Michael. You're still with me. Okay, Mike. Are you with me? I guess, folks, I might have lost Michael. I don't know. Everything seems to be working fine on this end, but maybe we got dropped, and so we'll check that out right now. But we'll keep on. Let's go back to this. I'm going to keep with the same topic that Michael was talking about. He is running for Congress, and if you go to his Economic Clax Blogs, you can find a lot of really good, important articles. But the article that I'm pointing to the most, that I want to point out to you folks, is there's one that's over there. It's called Dialing for Dollars. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this to you while I wait and see if our guest is going to be back. because I think that he must have dropped or something. And so, Frank, I'm sure the producer is checking into that right now. But anyway, Dying for Dollars, you should go over and check that out. He says that when you run for Congress, are you there? Okay, I don't know what's going on there. When you run for Congress, this is a really interesting, you're required, when you go into Congress as a new congressman, to spend approximately 4 hours a day on the telephone raising money. Now, I don't know about you, but when I vote somebody to go to Congress, I vote to, okay, well, so are you back, Michael?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Pastor Dan?
Yes, I can. I don't know what happened, and I really don't care, but I was going to point out to the people, I was going to stay on the same conversation. I was just telling them there's a wonderful article over to the Economic Collapse blog. It's called Dialing for Dollars. But you can take this any direction that you want. I was just trying to fill in until they got you back.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Dan. I apologize for the technical glitches there. I live way up in the mountains of Idaho, so sometimes once in a while they happen. But what I'm about to share with you is hard to believe. In fact, I've been sharing this with people all over the state of Idaho, and a lot of times people don't believe me. But what I'm about to share with you has been documented by 60 Minutes. Sitting members of Congress have talked about this. They've actually even written books where they talk about this. So everything I'm about to share with you is 100% true, 100% documented by people that are actually sitting members of Congress, by 60 Minutes, by other mainstream media outlets. But it's still shocking. So when I first decided to run for Congress, I thought, well, let me find out what how members of Congress actually spend their time. If I'm going to be a member of Congress, I should find out what they actually do. And what I found out really was so disturbing that it shook me to the core. Because what I found out is this. When you elect a member of Congress, you're not actually electing someone who's going to go there and work hard to represent you, but what you're really doing is you're electing a mid-level telemarketer for one of the political parties. So let me tell you how it works. If I win this election, whoever wins my race, for example, will go to Washington along with all the other new members of Congress, and they'll sit down for orientation. And at orientation, they will tell us that how we should spend our time, and they'll say that we should spend about 2 hours a day on floor/committee, essentially doing the job we are elected to do. And they'll say that we're expected to spend about 4 hours a day, and it's actually a total of about 30 hours a week, dialing for dollars, raising money on the telephone. Now, that should disturb you right there. And so, and because members of Congress can't legally make these calls from their offices by law, so what? There's two giant call centers right across from the U.S. Capitol, one for Democrats and one for Republicans. And so members of Congress will go over there, and they'll sit in these depressing little cubicles, little offices, and they're given a script, just like a telemarketer is given a script. So, for example, if I got Pastor Dan's name, you know, it would say, you know, Pastor Dan, and he's married, and how old he is, and what he does for a living, and you know, all kinds of details about his life. And they'll say, you know, tell us about, you know, how much money to try to get out of him. And the whole goal in that phone call is to get as much money out of that person as quickly as you can, you know, and then move on to the next one. And you have to raise a lot of money as a member of Congress, not just for future campaigns to get reelected, but as a freshman member of Congress, I would be expected to pay my dues. And my dues would be this. I would be expected to raise $200,000 for the NRCC, the National Republican Congressional Committee, if I wanted to move up the ladder and beyond that, I'd have to raise much more. For example, if you want to be a committee chairman of one of the best committees, you've got to raise over $1 million for the NRCC and in order to get one of those chairmanships. So essentially, the chairmanships of the good committees are for sale, is in essence what's going on here. So it's a deeply corrupt, horrible system, and I've pledged that I'm not going to make those phone calls. I'm not going to dial for dollars. I'm not going to participate in this system. But if I'm elected to Congress, I'm going to go there to do the job that the people of Idaho sent me there to do. And so that's the pledge I've made, and I'm the only candidate in my race that has done that, because they can't require us by law to do this, to make those phone calls. But most of you all listening out there today, there's a handful of members of Congress that are standing up to the system, but for most of you that are listening to this program today, your members of Congress, whether the House or the Senate, they're spending 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day on the telephone raising money when they should be spending their time representing you and doing the job that they sent you to Congress to do. So most people have no idea this is going on, that the Congress has become all about the money, and that members of Congress have essentially been transformed to mid-level telemarketers for their own political parties.
Wow. When I first read that, I don't know when you originally put the article out, but when I read it, and that's the first I heard of it, I knew, of course, you know, I know that Washington, D.C. is just like a great big money machine, and it's growing and everything, and people, when they get elected to Congress, move over family members, and family members become, you know, involved in all this money-making scam. And, you know, it's just makes you ill. And so the only way to stop that is to get people like you in office, not Christians in name, but Christians that walk the walk. Not only do they talk the talk, but they walk the walk, such as you. Back to you.
Yeah, Pastor Dan. So when we say we want to drain the swamp, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. We need to get the rhinos and the establishment Republicans and you know, out of the system. We need to get the bad people out of the government agencies. But we also need to literally change the way things are done in Washington. And that is going to take people that are willing to go in and that are unafraid to stand up to the leadership of both parties, Democrats and Republicans, and say, no, we are not going to do things this way anymore. Because, you know, for decades it seemed like no matter who we elect, no matter who we send to Washington, things just seem to keep going the exact same way. No matter whether the Democrats are in power, the Republicans are in power, it's all corrupt. It all keeps going the same way. And either we take advantage of this window of opportunity with Donald Trump in the White House, this is our window. This is our opportunity to try to take our country back. If we fail, if we don't do it, well, we may never get this opportunity again. And if America keeps going this direction with abortion on demand, with 60 million dead children, with the gay marriage and the transgender agenda, and with Hollywood, and you see what's on television in the movies, you can hardly watch it anymore because it's so full of perversion and sin and garbage. Our country, evil of just about any sort or you can possibly name, every type of sin you can possibly imagine is exploding all around us. If we keep going this way as a nation, you know, ultimately we know where it leads. It leads to judgment. It leads to, you know, God is not going to have patience with us forever. He's not going to have grace for us forever. In fact, many people are amazed that our nation has gotten this far without the judgment of God coming down on us in a major way. So we're living on borrowed time. We need emergency surgery on the national level and on state governments too. We desperately need to do something. We need people that are going to be courageous enough to go to Washington, D.C., to go into positions of power, to stand up and be leaders and say, we've got to turn back to God, because if we don't, judgment is going to come. We need people like Jonah that went to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, and say, repent. You need to turn back to God or judgment's going to come. And, you know, the people of Nineveh listened. They actually repented. You know, of course, we see other examples in Scripture where men of God went and warned a nation to repent, and then they didn't listen, and then judgment did come. But we need to give America an option. We need to sound the alarm. We need to say, hey, we need to quit doing things our way and get back to God's way, and give the American people a choice, and then the American people can choose. Are we going to do things God's way and live and be okay, or are we going to do things our way and keep going into sin, and then the judgment of God will inevitably come?
Yes, absolutely. Let's go with this. Number one, folks, absolutely, and I'm addressing you folks that are on live and the people that will be listening to this on podcast, but absolutely, we were given a miracle with Donald Trump. I believe the Father for whatever reason, billions, millions of prayers, who knows? Prayer got us to the point of bringing in Donald Trump. I believe that we were given a chance to do right. The battle isn't over. It had only begun. And so it is in your court, like we started off in the first of this program saying, that the church needs to be more involved. Well, it needs to be more involved, and you need to do more. I mean, you need to stand up and be counted. You need to get people out to vote. You need to support. If you're not going to, there's some things a lot of you can do simply like by giving money to candidates like Michael, supporting them. And then other people, even in your local elections, you need to get in, and if you can't do it, you need to get in and back candidates like Michael to get into the local election, whether your city has 500 people or 5 million people. You need to get involved all across, because we are in a spiritual battle right now, and this not only pertains to America, is what changes the course, is, like Michael said, light of the world. Why, yes, Israel is supposed to be the light of the world. We are also a light to the world. And if we don't stand up for what is right, America will be crushed. If these people are able to get Donald Trump out, I believe, like Michael, that it will be the last chance. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, and a lot of people out there, you know, and this is a program, a radio program about Bible prophecy, and we've talked about Bible prophecy many times on this program, and people know that I've written a book about Bible prophecy. And so a lot of Christians out there are of the opinion, well, we're living in the end times, Jesus Christ is coming back, so why even bother? Why even bother with any of this? Why don't we just, you know, pack it in and not even worry about it? But that's totally the wrong perspective, because if Jesus is coming back, we should be trying to win every single precious soul that we can while there's still time, doing whatever we can to win people for the kingdom so that we bring every single individual we can with us into the kingdom that we can, and we rescue as many from hell as we possibly can. So my perspective is this. Yeah, we're in the end times. We know lots of things are going to happen. We know the book of Revelation. And many times people focus on all the trials and the wrath of God and all the horrible things that are going to happen. But also there's going to be a lot of great things that are going to happen. I believe that it's good, even in the midst of the chaos and darkness and confusion and everything going crazy, me and my wife believe it's going to be the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. We believe God is raising up a remnant in these last days. And so let's just pray that God's will would be done for this election and in all of our lives. And if it's God's will for me to go to Congress, to Washington, to sound the alarm, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep the commandments, which, you know, God's raising up this remnant in Revelation 12:17, Revelation 14:12, in the last days. God's raising up a remnant that's going to keep the commandments, that's going to preach the gospel to the whole world, and that's going to move in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit like we haven't seen since the book of Acts. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. When I go to Congress, I'm not going to be just a quiet member of Congress in the corner. I'm going to proclaim the righteousness of God. I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and win as many souls as I can and move in all the power of the Holy Spirit, display the kingdom of God, and try to rescue as many precious souls as I can while there's still time.
Yes, amen. Now, folks, look, you, as Christians, you need to get your bravery back. You know, the early church, look at them. They stood up and were martyred. Every one of the apostles except for one was martyred. And they tried to do that with John, bullying him and all, but it just didn't work. But the point is the point. You were never just because you got saved to sit down and do nothing. Faith is an action word. You're supposed to move on it. If you do not move against this darkness, then you're not going to be on the soul winning. In fact, you're going to be drug. You could be drug out of your house, and you know what that means. So we need to stand up. It is your job to stand up. We need to back people like Michael, and specifically Michael. I know you folks out there, a lot of you ain't rich, but a lot of you that do listen to this program, I know I even have millionaires that listen. I know I have other talk radio hosts that listen to this program. You need to back up Michael as a candidate, and he wins the primary, then follow him on through. We need to do this, and not just for Michael, but for candidates all across this country. This is an important election. And anyway, back to you, Michael. Sorry, I don't mean to get carried away, but this is important to me.
Yeah, we need to be passionate, because if we love America, we should fight for America. If we love souls, we want to fight for souls. And as a member of Congress, I would have more of a platform to preach the gospel and to proclaim the truth than I've ever had by far. I mean, it would be so much of a larger platform than I've ever had to do ministry, to proclaim the truth. And so, you know, and I never imagined, I mean, if you would have talked to me, a year ago and asked me if I would have ever run for public office, I would have said no, because I was very happy doing what God had me doing at the time, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. But now, you know, it's literally a miracle we've gotten this far. And as I said earlier in the program, Pastor Dan, I'm in a super, super close race with two other guys at this point. And these are the races we need to focus on, because around the country, pretty much 90% of the races, we already know who's going to win, whether it's going to be a Republican or a Democrat, and the House races or Senate races. Most races, almost all of them, we already know who's going to win. So we want to focus on the winnable races. And this is one of the races around the country we literally don't know who's going to win. And the election is less than 70 days away, the primary on May 15th. And if I win that primary, because this district here in Idaho is so conservative and so Republican, one of the safest in the entire country for Republicans, if I win the primary on May 15th, I will be the next member of Congress and win the general election in November. So, guys, you know, the Lord has answered our prayers already. I'm in a super close race. I wasn't supposed to be, you know, one of the leading candidates, but I am. And we have the momentum. Our numbers are the ones that have been surging. We're in a super tight race, so if you guys want to get involved, go to michaelsniderforcongress.com. If you want to donate, we just started up this money bomb for our campaign for Michael Snyder for Congress. It's swampbomb.com. That's swampbomb.com. Go there, click on the green button that says donate now. You can donate, you can get involved. We just launched our final big money bomb for the campaign. We need resources to get brochures and signs and campaign materials all over the district, because we need our big final push for mailings and everything else to get our message out there. And so, guys, help us get to Congress. And I promise you, when I go to Washington, I'm not going there to be nice and quiet. I'm going there to turn over the tables. I'm going there to be a wrecking ball to the spirit of political correctness. I'm going there to turn the system completely upside down, to try to take our government back, to try to restore righteousness in Washington, D.C., like Josiah did, which I was talking about earlier in the program, where King Josiah came together and said, we're getting back to the commandments of God as a nation. We've been strayed away for decades. We've been going against the things of God, but we're turning back to God. And he led Israel on one of the greatest revivals in the history of the Bible. And it was the leader of the nation that did it, because he stood up. He said, we're getting back to God. He set the tone for the entire country.
Yes, amen. Well, we are running out of time, but folks, I'll say this, and then we'll say goodbye, Michael. I sent over to, if you go to prophecyhour.com right now, the easiest place to get these links, if you can't remember what he said, prophecyhour.com, go to the pastor's page. I just sent two links over there, one Michael Snyder for Congress and the other one about grain or the swamp bomb. Those are over there on my pastor's page. And so, folks, I encourage you to donate. I encourage you to spread the, if you don't have money, seriously, spread the links around. Put them on Twitter. Twitter's a great place to do that. Put it on Twitter. Put them on your Facebook. We need to get him elected. Don't worry if you don't live in his state, because you live in the United States, and so he is in your state. So you need to get him. Okay, Michael. Well, we run out of time, and I know we'll talk again. Tell them about where the economic collapse blog is, and then we'll just have to say goodbye.
Yeah, if you want to see my latest articles, you can go to theeconomiccollapseblog.com. And that's where, I haven't been doing as much writing lately because I've been so focused on the campaign. If you want the latest pictures and videos and updates from the campaign trail, if you go to Facebook and type in the search bar, Michael Snyder for Congress, you can find our official Facebook campaign page, and you can see all the places I've been, all the things we've been doing on the campaign trail. And then if you have any questions, you can write me directly at Michael@MichaelSniderForCongress.com. You can send me an email there. and I'll be glad to get back to you.
All right. Well, I will share those links, Michael, and I'm going to be praying for you. Well, thanks a lot for being on. Be blessed, brother. Bye-bye. Well, folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.